Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, and guy who never, never deceptively edits anything. Unlike that, we don't have to. When you got the truth on your side, when you have Veritas on your side, you don't have to make crap up. Yes, it's I, Brad from BradBlog.com, in for Mike, who is winging his way towards Seattle. For you lucky folks out there, well, you're lucky. Well, I was going to say you're not that lucky because it's cold. But given what's going on in the rest of the country and the heat index, as you know, a government conspiracy tells us, Rush Limbaugh tells us. You're a lot cooler up there in Seattle. I think it's barely a summer up there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there was a meteorologist up in Seattle who said that they've had all of 78 minutes of summer this year.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Seattle. On the other hand, Mike Malloy is coming your way to warm you right up. Because he's Mr. Warmth, they call him in a lot of places, Mike Malloy. But you didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a real warm guy.
You didn't know that.
No, actually, he is a very nice man. Very nice person.
You don't have to say that.
Am I ruin his cred?
Well, it's not like you're on Fox News, you know, when the name Rupert Murdoch comes up, they call him Mr. Murdoch. And, you don't have to do that here.
Okay.
All right. That's Desi Doyen. I asked her to come in, my producer here and my co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, which we played just before the top of the hour there. If you missed it, go to greennews.bradblog.com and give it a listen after we are done. But I brought you in because we wanted to get someone from NASA in today. And what did she tell you? That they had, everybody had been up for like 48 hours?
Yes,
with the
everyone
landing
had been up for 48 hours straight, and that they would love to. And it's just that they basically are all as worn out as they could possibly be.
Yeah, and what about Miles? Did you
Miles O'Brien. We tried to talk to Miles O'Brien from CNN, formerly of CNN. He used to be their science correspondent, space correspondent. He's now in Japan, though. He's doing a long-form assignment on Fukushima and the aftermath of all of that.
So where is he? Do we have him?
We do not have him either. Everybody is super, super, super busy.
You are the worst producer I have ever heard. Listen, the reason I brought you in, though, in truth, and we're going to get to your phones in a second, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150, and we'll also, and there's the chat room at bradblog.com. Go say hi to 4Earth, and you can talk to Desi there, too.
Yes.
But the space program, very sad about the space program. The end of, everybody says,
it's
the end of an era.
Yeah.
But the end of manned space travel by the U.S.
It's the effective end. Now, they haven't completely ended all plans for manned spaceflight, but they have eliminated much of the funding that goes toward it. There was, when the Bush administration decided to go ahead and end the shuttle program on schedule, as scheduled back in 2004, they added a new program with NASA, the Constellation rockets, I think it is, that were going to be the next generation to go into deep space, to stop going to just low orbit, which is, you know, the near Earth orbit,
right,
and go to deep space.
But not
manned. Then Obama administration canceled that. And after an outcry, he said, okay, well, there's another thing we can try to do. And now that's what they're working on, is to actually use robots to go out into deep space. They're going to still...
Robots
if you're Canadian. And they're going to still try to develop manned space flight to go to Mars eventually.
Well, yeah, I mean, these deep space probes and everything else, these are robots. We don't know because we don't have somebody from NASA to ask, you know, is there a manned space program in development?
Yes, there still is. Yes, they still need astronauts. They still have an astronaut program. One of the things that Miles O'Brien was saying a couple of days ago was that NASA needs to put out that advertisement. We are still needing astronauts. Please still apply. It's just that without an active program, it makes it a lot harder to get people to apply.
Well, yeah, and we have the astronauts, but they're going to be going up and down on the Russian...
Yes, but this is
ships.
Also for
we
the future.
We don't have our own program. They're talking about, we'll wait for the private concerns.
They're waiting for the private companies like SpaceX. Those are for low Earth, near Earth orbit, and for eventually, you know, servicing the International Space Station, which is what the Russians will be taking care of right now. But they are, at NASA, indeed, still going forward with manned space flight for deep deep space. Yeah. That's something that is going to be very long-term in the future, but it's on the plans are on the books, but there are no deadlines or goals.
I'm not happy about
it. There was only a 5 years, I think, between the end of the Apollo program and the, the end of the Apollo program and the beginning of the space shuttle program. So we have 5 years, the clock is ticking.
What happens if there's an emergency? I mean, we used to be able to set up at the International Space Station.
It's my understanding that the Soyuz rockets are very reliable. They don't have to worry about that, and that will be the way that they would rescue people.
Russian technology, very reliable, nothing to worry about.
Well, you know, they're much better now.
Okay.
That's what my understanding is. Okay. Obviously, I am not an astronaut.
Yeah, well, yes, you are. You're my astronaut. Okay, thank you, Desi Doyen. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, now get out there and answer those phones, because they're ringing off the hook. As a matter of fact, I can't even answer them because the screen's gone dark, because you're not out there to move the mouse.
Oh, boy. Away. Thanks, bye.
All right, see ya. Actually, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to randomly choose someone from the phone. I have the monitoring screen is out, and so whoever it is, you'll have to identify yourself. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, madam or sir.
This is Steve from Berkeley.
Well done, Steve, and welcome to the show. How are you, brother? What's on your mind?
Good, Brett. I'm talking about Murdoch.
Ah, yes.
Has every American lost his testicles?
Yes.
Or backbone? Because shouldn't he be brought before a grand jury on an inquiry about why are all these whistleblowers busting your organization winding up dead?
Well, okay, to be fair here, not all these whistleblowers. One whistleblower, and yes, he was the key whistleblower, and he was found dead. Steve Hoare was his name. He used to work with the News of the World. He was found dead on Monday night in his London flat, the main whistleblower in the News of the World thing. Now, it needs to be investigated. The police have said as much. Interestingly, the same police also said, we are investigating it because it's unexplained. However, we don't believe it is suspicious. Hang on, Steve. Those police who say it is not suspicious are also, this is the same police department that has so far had, two different folks resign from Scotland Yard because they're implicated in this scandal as well for having been bribed by News of the World and News Corp or News International and so forth. So take that with a grain of salt. Anyway, one whistleblower. Yeah.
Okay, what I want to point out is bring people up to speed. The military runs the whole media.
They do?
He knows where all the skeletons are buried. Murdoch knows where all the skeletons are buried, but the rest of the government and England and all the government stuff going on over there, he knows where all the skeletons are buried. I think he's having these witnesses killed to terrorize the world, like, screw you, I'm the Wizard of Oz, I'll get away with it because I control you.
Well,
I think it's sick and we better start waking up. In fact, LeninMurderTruth.com is the most ignored website in history.
Okay.
LeninMurderTruth.com.
Well, that's because you don't know the Brad blog. We are the most ignored website in history. But anyway, Steve, I appreciate it. And just to be clear, only one person so far is dead in this News of the World hacking scandal, and whether Murdoch had anything to do with it at this point or not, we have no idea. But go check out his website and see what you can learn, and get back to us on these, your public airwaves. Let me go to Tracy in Los Angeles. Oh, is this lady cab driver?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing swell, sweetie, and happy belated birthday to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Isn't your birthday, because today's my birthday, and a couple of days ago was your birthday.
That's right. It is a happy birthday to you, and thank you for spending it by calling into the Mike Malloy Show, Trace. I appreciate you're not driving your cab tonight, right?
Well, actually, though, I was, and I got so frustrated because every time I'm like, okay, I'm going to work tonight, even though it's my birthday, but I need to work.
Yeah.
But because my stupid iPhone kept dropping iHeartRadio, and I was becoming more and more annoyed with that situation because your show was really good today, and like, okay, I'm getting aggravated because I was hearing just when it was getting really good, I would lose the signal, and I was like, this is wrong, and so my last customer, I'm like, you know what? I went to Vegas over the weekend. I won money, and I'm like, wait a minute, why am I working? It's my birthday. I'm going to be here talking to Brad and hanging out in the chat room with my peeps and all that.
Well, God love you, Tracy. You know, if it makes you feel any better, and stop by and say hi. Are you in the chat room there now? I've had a look around.
I just got into the chat room.
All right,
room.
Lady Cab Driver. You can go say hi to Lady Cab Driver over in the BradBlog.com chat room during the show. But if it makes you feel any better, I, too, was working on my birthday, which was, I think it was Wednesday or so. I lost track. The 19th, on that big exclusive story, series of exclusive stories that's still to come. And if it makes you feel any better, I was, not only was I working on my birthday, but that is the story that I have since overwritten and completely lost 5,000 words of as of today. So, see?
So, obviously, you don't listen to Stephanie Miller when she tells you to get, what is that thing she tells you to get?
Yeah, the backup, the carbonite backup. Well,
carbonite.
No, it's I didn't lose it that.
Stephanie about that.
Well, I didn't lose it that way. I have only myself to blame. I actually overwrote it. I was up until 3 a.m. and dizzy, and I actually saved on top of it. Yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah, I'm very unhappy about it. But listen, Trace, I got to run, but I really appreciate you calling, especially on your birthday, dear. Happy birthday.
It's my birthday.
It is.
Happy belated birthday to you, my love.
Thank you, dear. Really appreciate it. All right. Thanks. Take care. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. More of your calls, 877-520-1150.
Que a mente não faz questão. Nem tem...
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
Welcome back. Brad of BradBlog. BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. More of your calls straight ahead, 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in, I'm disappointed. So far, not a single right-winger has called. I don't get it. I asked. I begged. I know. You think there was. That guy who said he was mad at Grover Norquist. He wasn't. He wasn't a right-winger. So now's your chance to get in, right-wingers. Tell me why... the Republicans should hold the country hostage through their terrorist-like tactics. Love to hear from you. You go to the straight line, straight to the head of the line if you call, because as we all know, folks on the right are special and better, and they deserve to go straight to the top. So 877-520-1150. Let's see. Brad Blog alum David Edwards, writing over at Raw Story, says, dissatisfaction and anger with the federal government is nothing new. But now even Almighty God is having a tough time getting support from the public. A recently released survey by Public Policy Polling found that only 52% of American voters approve of God's performance. This is for real. This is not an Onion story. While 9% disapprove. So let's see, 52% approve of God's performance, 9% disapprove, and 40% are just not sure. Among very liberal respondents, 19% disapproved of God's performance. Only 4% of very conservative voters had a problem with the deity. At 71%, God got his highest marks for creating the universe. Way to go, God. His handling of animals was approved by 56%, and 50% even approved of his handling of natural disasters. That's an odd number. The same polling firm recently found that 44% of Republicans thought President Barack Obama would not be taken to heaven in the rapture, while 37% were not sure. The most recent survey also determined that only 12% had a favorable opinion of News Corp CEO Rupert Murdoch. Though not the most popular figure public policy polling has polled, if God exists, voters are prepared to give it good marks. Voters approve of God's performance by 52-9 margin, making God about as popular as Murdoch is unpopular. Got it. Let's go to Richard in Middleton, New York. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, Brett, I called about this debt ceiling thing. And,
yeah. This and fake crisis.
The fake crisis, yep. Right, and how they're connecting it to the Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all
yeah.
that. And I'm not really sure what I want to say about it. I would just like to, you know, point out, I'm sure that your listeners are doing it anyway, but I think people should really be calling the White House the 202 number and also go on whitehouse.org, and just voice your opinion about it. I think that they really need to hear as much as we can get.
Yeah, make some noise, speak up. It really does matter, and I think a lot of times people wait until they're, you know, at some crisis moment where, you know, oh, we've got a call now, suddenly in a panic. You know, speak up. Tell them, you know, the hell with this. Tell them the hell with gutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. You know, the hell with the notion that we have a fiscal crisis. A spending crisis. We're still paying the same amount per person, per capita, for these social services that we were back in the 70s. By the time you account for inflation and so forth and the increase in the population, you know, the problem is that we have no revenue because we've given away all of the tax cuts to rich people. We've created these wars for no reason, these imaginary wars. We're spending nothing but money on military programs to defend against an imaginary enemy. You know, we put in place like Medicare Part D under Bush, put that on the credit card. So, you know, and yet the Republicans are holding us hostage now to it. Completely phony, completely fake crisis because they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. Actually, they do give a damn. They want this country to go, over the cliff because they think that's
absolutely.
How they're going to get the White House back. Richard, I appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for touching base, and thanks for making noise and your good point over these public airwaves. Appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We got to get back into the streets.
There you
take
go.
Care, Brad.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Okay, more of your calls ahead, 877-520-1150. The casino who was stiffed by the Tea Party, maybe I'll tell you about that. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us. Never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I'm never scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
But I'm a little annoyed today.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Happy to be stuck in the middle with you for a few more minutes here. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We'll also be with you tomorrow and Monday as Mike makes his way to the Progressive Voices Conference in Seattle. So we will be broadcasting live from the left coast here in Los Angeles. All right, your calls here. Oh, we do have a right-winger. Get to you shortly here. Dave in Humboldt. Our old friend Dave in Humble. Hey, Dave, thanks for holding on for such a long time there. Sorry about that, my friend.
Oh, it's all right, Brad. Despite a lot of good reasons to the contrary, many of us have hoped that Obama would be representing somewhat more of a concern for the plight of the have-nots, the poor and the mm-hmm. lower working classes, than would be the neocons. But I understand that today, if I've got this right, it was him himself that offered the idea of making cuts in Social Security. And this, despite hundreds of thousands of calls and letters to the White House and members of Congress saying Social Security is not the problem, don't be cutting Social Security, he went out and made the offer. It wasn't the Republicans asking for it.
Well,
today it was him making the offer.
Well, that you may have seen that reported. Both Obama and Boehner, I believe, have said that they denied any discussion, any deal about anything. So you may be right. We don't know. And there is plenty to beat up on Obama about. And people should raise hell and say, no, we don't want you to cut this perfectly solvent system, Social Security. But in fact, we don't know if, in fact, that was on the table today. But, you know, if you're concerned about it, yes, call the White House, raise holy hell.
Well, I'm certainly asking people I know. And you know, Brad, also, I'm very much concerned that it may well be that we got a choice between an Obama and some right-wing whack because of this electronic voting. And I wish we could do something about that.
Well, that's definitely going to be the choice you're going to get, whether you get the choice or whether the electronic voting machines and the photo ID restrictions rule the day. That's another matter. So, yeah, I wish we would do something about it as well. I've been raising holy hell. I brought in I was delighted to see last night Colbert did a section on the photo ID restrictions that are being put in place by these right-wingers, and maybe I'll play that on the show tomorrow night. I was happy to see that, you know, now there are a lot more people other than me yelling and screaming about these things. So that's the good news. The bad news, you know, whenever I hear people say, oh, God, I hope it's Michelle Bachmann. Oh, I hope it's Sarah Palin. She'll be so easy to beat. Be careful what you wish for. I know how these voting systems work.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Dave. Very good to hear from you. Take care, my friend. Let me get to, here we go, James in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. James, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, first thing is I've called my senators and my congressmen to tell them that they should not violate the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
Mainly because the fifth section of the 14th Amendment says that Congress is the only one who can raise the debt limit.
Wait, so Congress is the only one who can raise the debt limit, is what you're saying?
Yeah,
this
14th
is,
Amendment.
So you're saying that you've called your senators and your congressmen and you've said, don't vote on, I don't understand. Explain your point.
Okay, when The McConnell plan came up.
Right.
The first thing that hit my mind was that the Senate is trying to give the president a power that they would have to take from the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, you can't do that.
Okay.
And my the representative that took my call at my congressman didn't even know that Congress was the only one where I can read. Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation and provisions of this article. That's the section 5.
Right.
Of the
14th Amendment. Their appropriate legislation could be, if they wanted it to be, that Mr. President, if you want to raise the debt limit, you go right ahead. What's unconstitutional?
That's right.
So what's wrong with that?
They shouldn't do it.
Why?
Because the debt has, under all the presidents, starting with Reagan through the current president, Clinton raised it the least.
Yeah.
Behind Clinton was
Reagan. So do you believe that they ought to raise the debt ceiling?
No.
Why not?
Not at all.
Why?
Because the number one, Bush raised the budget from $1.3 trillion to $2.7 trillion, and I was upset about that. Well, Obama raised it from $2.7 trillion to $3.7 trillion, and we've been going in debt ever since.
What were you complaining, James? Were you complaining the seven times that they raised the debt ceiling under Bush?
Yes, I was.
So you're ticked off about these Bush tax cuts. You think those should be rolled back immediately, correct?
No, the tax cuts actually didn't do anything. The tax cuts are not tax cuts. They cut them back then, and everybody keeps calling them tax cuts. They lowered the rate back in 2001 and 2003, and they just didn't hike them back up.
Right. Don't you think they should hike them back up, James?
No, because when they got hiked up during Clinton's era, when they got hiked up from 35 to 39 and were made retroactive, that's what caused me to become a Republican. Because I'm like, You can't do that. And tell me.
Really?
And tell me that.
So,
you were
against that horrible, horrible fiscal economic period during the Clinton administration, right? It was terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it wasn't bad.
Oh, it was
terrible. That was a remnant of the whatchamacallit era, of the Reagan era.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
So the credit, so the things that went well during the Clinton era was thanks to Ronald Reagan, right?
Yeah, because it freed capital.
Okay, so what went on during the Ronald Reagan era then you're thanking Jimmy Carter for, right?
No, I wasn't really here. Actually, I was in Germany.
I see. So,
I don't know what life was like.
No, I know. They don't have any TVs out there, no newspapers out there. James, you can't have it always. You know, things went very, very well under Clinton. He reduced the deficit so that he had a surplus. Reagan blew the deficit out. Yes.
Brad,
yes.
I checked the numbers at treasurydirect.gov to see if there was actually a reduction in the debt. Now,
No. We're talking about the deficit. James.
No, it's a deficit.
James.
It's a deficit. I actually checked.
Okay.
I actually checked.
There was no reduction in the deficit under Clinton.
Reduction. The lowest it was, it got reduced in Clinton's last year, 17. It increased by $17 billion. That was the lowest it ever was. I looked at it.
Well, no, I know, but there was a surplus that was predicted that's why George W. Bush came in and said, well, now there's a surplus. We need to give him a tax break. And he gave him a tax break, and that is by and large
that came
the.
After 9/11.
Huh? No, no, no.
The tax break?
No. No, it didn't. And the Bush tax cuts are, without a doubt, the hugest part of the deficit that we now face. And if they let the Bush tax cuts expire, it would virtually wipe out the deficit. And if you care about deficit, what happened to James? Did I lose him? Oh, boy, I hope I didn't do that. James, if... I'm sorry. You can call back if you want. We're not going to have time. So in any case, the deficit will be wiped out, essentially, if they let the Bush tax cuts expire. That is the cause of the deficit. And if you are a deficit hawk, as opposed to a pretend Fox News deficit hawk, if you really care about the deficit, then you want to roll back those Bush tax cuts, period. At least the part that are for the rich. You can't have it both ways. If you hate taxes, that's fine. But don't say, oh, I hate taxes, so I want to leave those in place, but darn this deficit, because you can't have it both ways. My apologies. I think I accidentally hung up on him. I've done that before, and it certainly was not on purpose, because I do like to hear from folks who disagree with me. So my apologies. Call back tomorrow. David in, up in Alaska. I'll try not to hang up on you. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. David, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, thanks, Brad. Good to be on with you. I wanted to add that... James O'Keefe's father, as far as I know, is a federal U.S. attorney in the Western District of Louisiana.
No, actually, it was, I know what you're referring to. That was one of his conspirators, his father, one of the guys, I think there was three of them or four of them, who were arrested down there in Senator Mary Landrieu's office, involved in a wiretap plot. And one of his conspirators, his father, was, in fact, the acting U.S. attorney from the Western District of Louisiana. You are correct. It wasn't O'Keefe. It was his conspirator.
Okay, well, that clarifies it, and also probably clarifies the young feller's lack of genetic pool.
Well, it didn't hurt, you know, to have that relationship to the U.S. attorney when you're fighting a case like this and you're trying to get off the hook. But anyway, there you go. Thanks, David. Hey, are you friends? Do you listen to my friend Shannon Moore up there on Alaska Radio?
Yeah, Shannon's a buddy. As a matter of fact, we're a pretty small population up here. We're pretty intense in the face of what's going on here with the Republicans who have taken over here by a lot of mischief. And our our elected officials here figure prominently with ALEC,
yep,
including our governor. And there was a bill introduced this last year in the Senate, or in the House, HB 110, which is trying and very, very hard to get us to relax our oil taxes for the producers in the light of the plan put in place by Palin, actually,
right.
ACES.
Mm-hmm.
They're going at this like mad dogs.
They're trying to get more money for the oil companies that Palin socialistically got for the people up there, right?
It was quite convenient.
Yeah.
And a lot of us believed in her. She allied herself, mm-hmm, back in the day, and
yeah,
got a lot of us aboard with her, and then turned into this
crazy woman. And and the notion that we need to give more of that money back to those poor oil companies, the richest corporations in the history of this planet, is absurd. Anyway, listen, I got to run, David, but great talking to you. Give my best to Shannon and to Jeannie Devon up there at Mud Flats and all of the rest of the blogger crew up there. Desi asked me, by the way, how the weather is up there. Is it still light outside at this hour?
Oh, it's totally light. We've just had gorgeous weather for the past several days.
And how long is it going to stay light until tonight?
Well, probably around 11:30, and then it'll. And this is in Prince William Sound in the south central area. We're getting our really good kick right now.
That's so cool. I love that it stays light that late. Maybe I'll move up there, but only for a month or two a year. I got to run, David. I got to get to a break. I appreciate your call, and like I said, give them all my best. I know we got to go around because I took too long. I wanted to know about the weather in Alaska. Somewhere it's light today. Somewhere it is light at this hour. And that place is Alaska. But the sun has set on the left coast down here in Los Angeles. And we will take you into the rest of the night here after this break. More, of course, tomorrow on the Mike Malloy Show. And a couple more of your calls ahead, if I can get them in. 877-520-1150. Jim in Vegas, I know you've been holding a long time. Going to get to you. Do my best. I promise. Brad in for Malloy.
One of these days, when you hear a voice say come, we're gonna run. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
My thanks tonight to my guests, Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny, to Eric Bullard of Media Matters, of course, to Desi Doyen, our producer tonight, to 4Earth for helping her out, as ever, in the chat room, and, of course, to the greatest engineer in the history of the Earth, or at least the history of this room, Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. If you're listening via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned to listen to my friend Bob Kincaid on Head On with Bob Kincaid. And do I have some other business I have to do here? No. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Who are we going to have? I don't know yet. Oh, I have some ideas. But they're not confirmed. So you'll just have to tune in to find out. Let's go to Jim in Las Vegas. And, Jim, you've been holding a really long time, and I thank you for that, sir. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
No problem. It's a pleasure, Brad. But I came up with a question about how we saw basically the 30-30-30 split, and that's like, 30% hardcore conservative, 30% middle-of-the-road undecided, and 30% liberal. Do you think there's any way we can overcome that, considering that the new law passed by the Supreme Court, unlimited spending?
There is going to be a hell of a fight next year, and it is going to be ugly, and it is going to be out of control because of that Citizens United decision. I think, though, that these guys on the right are beginning to do themselves in. I think we'll see. But I think this misinformation can and this propaganda can only go so far. I think this whole debt ceiling thing is really exposing these guys for the terrorists that they are. You call them conservatives. They're not conservatives. They're right-wingers. They're extremists. There's nothing conservative about wanting to hold your country fiscally hostage. But it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be ugly, and I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, and that's one of the reasons I'm saying, you know what? Republicans want to do this. Do they really want to do this? Let them do it. It may take it getting just that ugly and just that bad for this country to fully see what's really going on here.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. Hopefully I'm wrong. It might have to get a lot worse. I'm starting to have a little faith.
Yeah, I think it is going to get worse, and your phone's breaking up a little bit there, so I'm going to let you go, Jim. But I do appreciate your call and your holding, and that's exactly what I'm afraid of, that it's going to get much worse before it gets much better. Brother, do I have time for one more call? Let me try this. Margie in Brookings, Oregon. Hey, and by the way, James from Arizona came over to the chat room, and he said, no, the battery ran out on his phone. It wasn't my fault. I didn't think so. But there is a hair trigger hang-up on this phone. So anyway, Margie, we got about 30 seconds. What's on your mind, Margie?
Well, Mike was upset about something he heard on Ross' story two nights ago about the Nazi Mengele, that he had books and that were going to be going up for auction.
Mm.
And I guess he wrote poetry and maybe had a diary and whatever his collected papers were. But anyway, I had a fantasy that if I were a rich woman,
yeah,
that I would gather together remaining Holocaust victims and have a big bonfire and dance around it.
You mean burn the papers? Burn
Mengele's
papers. Okay, I got you. Well, it's a thought there. I don't know if we ought to be burning history, no matter whose history it is, no matter how ugly it is. We do need to be reminded of the disaster from whence we came and the disaster that we are likely headed towards. Thanks for spending the last few hours here with me tonight. I will be back with you tomorrow night. And keep it lit, America.